Welcome, friends, to the Friends That Carry On podcast, where we dive deeper in our trips, unpack tips, and everything in between. The one who holds the torch key is your host. Get ready for your ears to go on a trip with your favorite group of friends.
Hello, and welcome to Friends That Carry On. We are a group of friends that love to travel and love to promote travel, try to help anyone that wants to travel in any of their endeavors. And I am the tchotchke holder today. My name is Eric, and in the room we have
Jim,
Brian,
and Tony.
And today the tchotchke is a tchotchke bag from the Temple Bar Trading Company in Dublin, Ireland. And today we're specifically going to talk about Dublin and St. Paddy's Day. Where would you want to go on St. Paddy's Day? Everybody thinks about it. And that's Ireland, but specifically Dublin. So we all went. How many of us went on that trip? Do we remember how many was?
Well, we had a good. Well, there were two trips. So
yeah,
our trip, there was probably 8, 9, 10 of us.
Mm-hmm. And we had six, I think, on our on the trip of the year before you guys.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what year was this?
16 and 17.
Yeah, they went. They went
2 years ago.
Year,
2 years ago. Now. 2 years ago. This past St. Paddy's Day.
And then I went the year before.
Okay. Yeah. The trading Temple Bar brings up a subject to me that I didn't even know what Temple Bar was when I was going to Ireland. Everybody started saying Temple Bar, Temple Bar. And I'm like, what is this Temple Bar? Is it a bar? Is it a, well, when you get there, you find out it's an area, right? It's an area within the city of Dublin where everybody congregates and all the bars are, they're shopping, the crowds are heavy, the people are having fun, the streets are open, they're policed and they're shut off to mainly foot traffic only, which is nice. You don't have to deal with regular car traffic.
But there is actually a bar there called Temple Bar.
There is a bar there called Temple Bar too, yeah. Right? But it is area. I'm correct. I don't know
it
how.
Is an area.
Yeah.
It is an area. Yes.
It was actually the area comes from the family name,
right?
And it was I think Sir Temple,
I think
16th, 17th century,
right?
And their family kind of developed that whole entire area. And then just over time, it kind of came into the Temple Bar. But it is literally known as the Party District.
Yes.
Right.
It's close to the university.
Yeah, right. You're right on the riverside.
Right on the river.
It's a general development area.
It's definitely a bucket list. It's a bucket list type of thing. And we wanted to go in there. And I don't know if I'll ever go in and stay right above Temple Bar area again, now that I'm over 50.
Quitter.
Quitter, right? I'm a quitter. Because it was a little crowded, which was great, but it was a little loud, and it reminded me of Pamplona because I didn't sleep all night.
It was a festival, right?
Right, it was a festival, right? And just want to put this out there to everybody. You know, if everybody's looking for different things, do you want quiet? If you want quiet, stay outside of the Temple Bar area. If you want party and go hard and stay in the Temple Bar area or stay right above the
Temple
Bar area.
Real quick, so we talked about last week, too. I mean, not to rehash a little bit, but, you know, we were talking about, hey, if you're going to go to a festival,
right,
it's a high tourist time.
Absolutely.
So you have to expect noise. You have to expect crowd.
Oh, yeah. I'm not complaining. Right. I'm just, it was a bucket
list
thing.
You know, if you're going to go to St. Paddy's Day in Dublin, why are you going?
Right.
Yeah. To party and drink.
Are you going for, like, it's not like you're going
peace
to Bali,
right?
You're going for peace and quiet. You're going for the wrong reason.
That's Bali. Right. Well, why are you going? That brings up another good point. Why you're going? Guinness. That's why you're going. So everybody said, I don't know, a lot of people have heard, is the Guinness really better over there than it is in the States? Quick answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
I've heard that.
I don't know how to describe it, but it is. I'm not a big Guinness drinker. And they don't drink it necessarily warm, but they don't drink it necessarily
cold. No, it's about 55 degrees,
right.
Whereas here in the States it's about 40 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but over here, I drinking a dark drink, drink one or two, and I'm stuffed. I mean, just bloated. But over there, 10 or 11, 12 is not a problem.
That's the 12 you remember, right?
But, well, part of it's the way
is
they pour it.
Is that because you're replacing meals?
No, it's not.
No. But part of it's the way they pour it. They're consistent on that. But also, I don't think they have, I don't know if it's preservatives or it's
whatever it is.
There's something different in what they have to do to ship it over here to just having it there fresh.
Or even brew here and how they do it. But yeah, so I mean, he's not here, obviously, but Les, I mean, Les is what drank nothing but Bud Light for the last however many years he's been on this earth.
Right.
And when we were over there, he was there his first time, and I'll never forget. He goes, "I don't know if I can do this." He's like, "Dude, Bud Light is it."
Either way, it's not a big difference compared to Guinness.
I will never forget the first morning. Of course, we got there at 5:30, our first beer was like at 8:30. But
why'd you wait so long?
It took some time to get to the airport. Check in and have breakfast. But anyway, so he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, he gets his first Guinness, and he takes a sip of it, and just looks and goes, "Oh my god!" It reminded me of the movie. He goes, "When it hits your lips, it's so good." I don't understand.
It is totally different. It is amazing.
I was like, "Isn't that a movie, right?"
Has anybody in the room taken the Guinness tour?
Yes.
Okay, so I hadn't had the chance to take it. I didn't take it. I did the Jameson tour somewhere else.
Why did you limit yourself to just one?
Well, I don't know. It just happened. It just happened that way.
You brought it up. Can somebody tell us about the Guinness tour?
Yeah, there we go.
Well, I mean, St. Paul's Gate is a very iconic gate there. I mean, that's sort of on their label. It's sort of the big gate to where the brewery is, or at least the original brewery. So it's a good photo op place. So you get there first, and then you go into the brewery, but the tour part of it. And it's like a normal tour. You go through, and they tell you how they originated, the history. I know it's not Allie Guinness. It's Sir something Guinness. Allie Guinness was in Star Wars.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, he in the late 1700s, whatever, started the river there. Anyhow, they use fresh water from the river. They show how it comes in and flows through, and they brew the beer and all, and all the local stuff that they have coming from the mountains out in county. I'm going to say it wrong now. Berwick, whatever. Anyhow, but they bring it in all together. They make it just all through the steps. But you're constantly working your way up, and it's like four or five stories up.
Yeah.
And eventually you get to the top, and it's total circular glass, and you look out over Dublin.
All of Dublin.
And you do get a Guinness there, and of course, with the foam, they pour it properly, and on the foam, they got the little clover leaf that pretty much all the bartenders do. But
yeah.
When it's first time there, you weren't expecting. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. But the views up there are incredible. It's good. You know, just like anything, it's touristy, but...
Yeah. Well, what's really cool is, I mean, the distinct thing about Guinness, I mean, not a beer geek thing, but is how it's supposed to be poured. I mean,
that's a
huge thing. You have to do it like basically half to three quarter at first, and then you come back, and then you bring it to the top, and then it has to have an inch head, and you know, it's all that thing. And those guys obviously do it every day, all day, and it's their thing. So it's just awesome.
It is. Well, in part, what it's doing is it's releasing all that the darkness of the beer, and I'm not going to use the right term, but you can see it flowing. And while it's sitting there waiting before they come back, because they wait a minute or two at least before they come back and top it off.
The effervescence.
Yeah. But all that's flowing is releasing the carbonation and all that, which I guess is why you don't get the bloated feeling. It's releasing all that, but it's also releasing those tastes and everything else that goes with it. And then when they top it off, it brings it together. And I'm pretty sure, because over here, we're in too big a hurry. It's getting poured and getting on
never,
the thing.
There's, unless you go to a true
Irish pub. Coors Light.
unless you go to a true Irish pub, nobody knows. But that's just one of the cool things. I mean, but the whole St. Paddy's Day experience, I mean, I'm mentioning Les. I mean, this is one of the things. So this is one of Les's first trips abroad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was his first trip.
It might have been, yeah.
And he didn't have a passport.
Yeah, that's right. Day up.
So we're flying out. We're landing in Dublin at like 5:30 in the morning. Or he's landing at 5:30. We're landing at like 7:30. The day before, Les doesn't have his passport. Him and his daughter. I'm like, what? She has his passport. She's never traveled with us. She's like, I know these guys, you know, but I've never traveled with them. Les, literally the day that he is flying out, goes down to D.C. You know, we're obviously only an hour 15 minutes away from D.C. But he goes down there, literally has to wait to get his passport.
He had submitted the paperwork, but then something got held up. Now, get this. This is the funny wrinkle to this, all right? They wouldn't take a normal, like, driver's license picture ID because it was too soon or something. She's like, what will you take? He said, they want something older that shows he had been around or been him for like 20 years or something. So they're like, well, you can have out a high school yearbook. So I don't look anything like that. We didn't have one. So he calls me. We graduated high school together. He got his high school yearbook and took it down there.
Really?
And that got him through.
Because he's literally down there.
There you have it, folks.
I mean, and he gets his passport. He gets back to the airport about 20 minutes before he has to get through security. He literally walks through security, goes straight to the gate. They've already boarded. He's on a plane, gets there, and then he's sitting at a couch at that same hotel. And Terry and I walked in, and of course, 2 hours later, all we witnessed was the debacle going into this. We have no idea, right? We get on a plane, and there's Les. He goes, what took you out so long? Really? We weren't even expecting to be here. But yeah, but from his lips, I was like, are you kidding me? So anybody who says, hey, I can't travel because I can't get a passport. No, literally, you can get a passport the same day.
If you try hard enough,
I've got to write a little check. I'll be honest.
Exactly.
But if you have a good friend who has your high school yearbook around.
But anyway, so double though. I mean, seriously, St. Patrick's Day. So you guys went after I did.
Right.
But Terry went with both of us.
Right.
So it was awesome. And Les, of course, went
with us. He went with us, too. Yeah, he was on both of them.
It kind of brings me to the day of St. Patty's Day when we took over the bar.
But did you guys get in the day of or the day before?
We got in the day before.
Yeah.
And we stayed that night. And I think we did. Yeah, we got in the day before because I had come into Dublin and, the day before. The place that we stayed, we also occupied their bar below us. Because the bar was below where we stayed. And I used photographs to spark my memory. And here's a photograph of all the Guinness you were just talking about lined up. And when they served it, what they would do is they would half pour about, as many as they could fill their bar up. And then they would save them because they knew they were going to sell them. And they would let them settle and then pour them out. But we had occupied – I don't remember what time we got there. Do you remember what time?
Well, I do because – you got a ton of partiers out from first thing in the morning, 7 or 8, all through that area. And then you got the parade that goes on a little bit later in the morning, which is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
But St. Patty's Day in Ireland is a bank holiday. Mm-hmm. And on bank holidays, you're not allowed to drink till noon, or the bars are not allowed to open. The pub's not allowed to open till noon. So we were standing at the door, and when they let us in at maybe 10 till, we were able to get in and snag pretty much the whole bar on that side, which was really cool.
Well, real quick on that. So the difference, here's one of the things I found out the first year. So the pubs officially can't open until noon because of bank holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are designated as not pubs, hotel bars can't open.
That's right.
So here's what happens. So at 5:00 in the morning, again, Les gets there, 8:00, Terry and I check in. So we go in, and of course, we're starving. I was like, hey, let's eat a breakfast. Of course, they have their nice little, English
breakfast. Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh my God, what are we going to do for the next 2 hours until the pub's open? I saw somebody walk through this little hallway carrying a Guinness and goes into the restroom. I'm like,
hey, that happened?
where did that come from? Well, the hotel bar was right next to us. Well, we're like, okay, let's wrap up this whole breakfast thing real quick. We walked over, and of course, there's like 10 people in there because it's like 10:00 in the morning. They're wide awake, and they're serving out, and they're like, hey, no, this whole closing thing is only for the pubs.
Right.
And because we're attached to a hotel, you guys can drink now. We're like, hey, what's the universal sign for a round of beer? Let's do it.
So how quick did that bar fill up that day? It filled up really quick.
And there were, just imagine us. St. Patty's Day here, where everybody's dressed up in their greens and stuff, but put it on steroids. So you've got all that going on. You're in Dublin. Everybody's psyched up that much more than they are already, even here. I mean, St. Patty's Day is a big deal, obviously, if you're in the right place. And then obviously people have been drinking all morning. So then you got these groups coming in. Some of them all dressed the same. There were some dressed in Irish Indians. I remember a bunch of them that were young people. There's a couple of girls from Boston that were hammered, but they were having a great time. And they're partying with us. I mean, the groups just kept rolling through, but it was packed wall to wall within 15, 20 minutes.
I can remember us occupying the entire bar because we had such a big crowd. They would set the beers up beside us. and the bartender would pour them, and we would hand them to the people behind us because we didn't want to leave our seats at the bar. We were handing out every drink to every person in the bar behind us. There was another story. I remember I like to collect flags wherever I go. Jim likes to collect flags. And there was a nice Irish couple that was walking around. I started talking to, because you get to the point to where you really can't move throughout the bar. You can't go just walk from one end of the bar to the next. You can't freely move. So you get stuck in one spot. Yeah. And you get to talking to people and you meet people. And this guy was wearing his Irish flag around his neck. And I told him, oh, I like this flag. And I said, I collect flags. And he gave me his flag.
Really?
He gave me his flag. And I said, you don't have to do that. I appreciate it. Oh, no, you keep it, man. They're some of the nicest people I've ever met are the Irish people, really. And I think his girlfriend might have been British, but he was Irish. He was proud to wear the flag, and he gave me his flag. And I'll never forget, I got home after the trip, and I unpacked this flag, and it still has this dude's cologne on it. And I'm like, man. So, I hung it where I hung it for about a week or so. That whole room that it was hanging in smelled like this dude's cologne, this guy.
So I want to know, how do you know what that much? I mean, what kind of memory did this guy give you that you remember his cologne?
I remember the flag that he gave me off his back.
So when you guys traveled, I mean, one of the biggest things, I mean, I've seen him obviously in English, it's a big UK thing of the snug, like the little corner of the bar, that is usually encapsulated. It has a little door, and all the old traditional places has the snug. And one of the most memorable things, obviously, we got there the day of St. Patty. So we went straight into the parade and then straight out, and then it's on the page. But one of the bars I really loved, it was funny because, again, Les's daughter, right, Kate, was hanging out with us. She'd never hung out with us before, and her and I just stand there. We kept seeing these people walking in and out of this like little door. Like, what is this door? It's like, I don't understand. It's right beside the bar. I'm like, but everybody comes out there and seems to have a smile on their face. I'm like, what else needs to go in there? And she's like, hey, you're a female. You can get away with it a little better than I can. If I walk in there, I go, hey, get out, asshole, right? And he's like, all right, you go in. I was like, I'll come get you in 10 minutes, right? Or scream or something. Next thing I know, we're in there. And then Les comes on and goes, where's my daughter? I'm like, she's in the door. He's like, with who? I was like, I don't know. I have no idea. I was like, I'll go get her. Hold on a second. So I go in, and she's like, "Okay." Of course, she's already made friends with like the three people that's in the stock. And there's literally room for like eight people tops. And now when I say eight people, it's eight small people.
And if Les gets in there, it makes it five.
Three. Right? It's small people. I mean, you're like, it's stuck. You got to suck up. I mean, you're tight. So there's like four of them, three of me. And we're talking and everything. Next thing you know, it's an old traditional thing. So that's where everybody used to, if you were important, you got into the snug because you were right off the bar and they deliberately handed you drinks.
You say stay in line. The snug, S-N-U-G.
S-N-U-G.
S-N-U-G is
what. Look up any snug. Any UK kind of Irish bar, you'll find those. But it was pretty cool. Snug. It was so funny. Those guys hang out there so often. They have like little pins. So if you're like snug approved. Literally, they gave her one, and it was like the most precious gift she ever got. She was like, I can go to the snug anytime I want. But it was so funny. We all come out of there, and Les was like, you found her? I'm like, yeah, it took me about an hour.
Yeah.
We came in. We had to have a drink with the people.
So did you get a pin?
I don't remember.
You were snug approved.
Yeah, I wasn't snug approved.
I'm guessing you were not.
I don't think I asked.
Yeah. You probably didn't offer.
I didn't care.
I'm sure
that. It was just pretty funny, though. It was really a cool experience. I mean, the whole thing about Dublin was just, I mean, I love it. It's a very festival atmosphere. Like we talked about last week, we were talking about Oktoberfest. I mean, it's a very similar, people always ask in the United States, are like, oh, well, they probably don't celebrate St. Patty's Day like they do here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Dublin's quite as big as like down in
Savannah's big.
Savannah's big.
That's New Orleans might be big too,
but it's still pretty big.
It's pretty big.
I mean, when we rolled in there to go to the parade, we thought we'd be able to just like walk up.
Oh,
dude, you gotta get there early. Otherwise, you're like 20 people deep.
Yeah, if you have any interest in the parade.
You're not seeing anything.
Well, I know.
So what's in the parade?
It's a typical parade. It's a very long parade, I think, because it is Dublin and it is St. Patty's Day.
And they got all
it's anything and everything.
Yeah, floats.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's quite the level of like a Macy's Day parade here.
Thanksgiving. Are they all just, you know, drinking Guinness on the
There's a decent amount of it.
But you got all kinds
of things. It's a very
interesting. It's just a big party. Or mm-hmm. parade.
Yeah. But it's the streets.
I mean, you can't to try to get up to watch it. You have to go
three blocks off.
So that's why we stay in the bar.
Position. You go three blocks off, and then you run up.
Restaurants are all busy. You have to kind of plan when you want to eat. I remember coming out, and Shelly and I, Tony's wife, nobody else was around or something, and she wanted. Oh, we both wanted pizza. Nobody else wanted pizza, so there was a place right across the street from where we were drinking Guinness, and we went in there and had pizza. But, you know, again, you had to be patient. It was very packed. We had to wait, but we had a good conversation, and we had a good time.
Well, here's the beautiful thing about landing at, like, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really packed.
At that point, right.
I mean, we did get a lot of interesting, like, when we went to the Brazen Head. So I know you guys
were late the morning of St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah. The only reason we ended up even being there, honestly, and this is part of the trip we'll talk about later, was we ended up going to, I think it was the Prague, or no, that was the Lisbon into Portugal and then the Paris trip. And we were really supposed to land like March 18th, I think, in Lisbon. But we were flying through, Terry and I, you know, was flying through Dublin. Oh. We were on Icelandair. We were on
Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus. And we're like, wonder how much it is to like fly a day or two earlier. I mean, it's St. Patty's Day.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so we checked into it. It was actually like $90 or $100 cheaper to fly like a day before, which means we landed there on St. Patty's Day. So we're like, okay, if we split a hotel room, we're pretty much even, except for the amount of beer we're going to spend.
Right. So, that could be
That I could easily offset with the fun, right?
Absolutely.
So that's what we did. So we just switched our flights.
Did you all, how was it? The obviously the flight in was fine and you got down there fine, but did you have any problems with blockades and all with the taxi cab? So did you have to walk? Now I'm talking about from your getting in the airport and getting down, because I know when we got in the day before, Les couldn't get to his because some place would block out. He had to walk like several blocks.
Okay. Yeah. So we got there the day of. And it was awesome because of the, and that probably depends on the hotel.
It probably does.
So that's the thing. If you're going to stay in the Temple Bar area and you're going to only check in the day before or the day of, you have to be very cognizant of where you're staying.
Right.
Because if you're on the edge, like where we were literally the first half block.
Right. Where they started blocking off. Right.
So they dropped us off. We had a block walk.
Yeah.
If you're in the heart, you're going to walk. Blocks
with luggage and everything else, right?
Through crowds, a day or two before, but yeah, that was definitely an important thing. I mean, for checking in the morning up because the guy couldn't get to any place, he's like,
oh no,
the best guy. I'm like, well, that's fine, we're only like a block up and a block over, right? And it was fine, but
actually, we were right there, we overlooked our bar, he was actually in the bar, but so we were right there, but Les had trouble. I had to drop him off, and when he was a couple blocks out. So it was,
and that's kind of probably also the taxi cab driver is like
that is part of
how much effort they want to put into it. But I mean, one of the other cool things about that whole area, you know, obviously other than the whole crazy festival atmosphere, is the historic aspects of it. Right.
Okay.
So we were talking about this earlier, right, Eric? You go to the UK, obviously it's old. I've been to a lot of old bars. And, of course, Brazen Head in Dublin, I think it's hands down the oldest bar in Dublin.
In Dublin. And
in Dublin.
Ireland, Eric will refute
And that. Eric will say that there's a bar in the outside bar of Dublin, which I can neither confirm nor deny because I've been there yet.
Right.
There's a bar called Sean's Bar in Athlone that claims they've always been a bar, and they opened it in 920 AD.
Right.
And it's been a bar ever since.
Right. So, and Brazen Head's been there since 1198, 1199.
Yeah.
It's in 1190.
It's 1190.
By the way, it's a long time
to be a continuously running bar.
Right. Yeah.
They both win.
I've never been there, obviously, but Brazen Head, I mean, that was so cool. And that was really cool. So, one of the other cool things I would say, if you're going to go to Dublin, and we can talk about this a little bit later in the travel tip aspect of it, but, you know, if you go there, it's like any place, you know, during the day, it's crazy and it's busy. It's not near as busy as it is from 8 right. p.m. until 2 in the morning.
Right.
All right. That's when everybody and their brother is out and about. So we managed to make that walk because it's not in the Temple Bar area. It's mm-hmm. It's like 3 or 4 blocks outside.
3 or 4 blocks, depending on which way you can get, and go down by the river.
Yeah, but if you're going to the river, you know, it's parallel to the river, you're about 3 or 4 blocks outside the Temple Bar area. But I mean, again, it's the oldest bar in Dublin for sure,
mm-hmm.
right?
Supposedly,
yeah. But what's really cool is when you walk in, I mean, you literally can see the foundation of all the old aspects of it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's been blown up, torn down, rebuilt, torn down, but you can see the foundation of it, and that's why it's always been open.
Always been open as a bar.
That was just phenomenal. I mean, we went in there in the middle of the day. I mean, we're talking, you know, we started at like 9 o'clock at breakfast, and then we ended up there like at 2 o'clock.
What's neat about it is that first you walk through the stone, like you're talking about foundation, but you got to walk through this little hallway that's outside to a courtyard that you can sit out and have tables. So if it's decent weather, which Ireland pretty much stays in the 50s and overcast year round. So it's always about the same.
Wear a jacket or a coat.
Yeah, but then inside, it's about 5 different bars. I mean, it's no matter what, it's all a nook. Each different one is a different area.
It's a snug, right?
It's a snug. But each one's full tap, full everything. So everywhere you go, it's a little bit different atmosphere, but it's a good atmosphere either way. And I know this was a day or two after St. Patty's Day. Les and his fiance Jody and my wife Teresa were sitting outside there, and you know, having a couple beers. And of course, I don't know if all the friends out there know, we're from West Virginia, and it seems no matter where we go in Europe, a rendition of Country Roads always breaks out. We're sitting here by this Belgian soccer team, or football as they call it, having a good time. They're having a good time, and I don't remember what started. I think they did. They just started singing Almost Having West Virginia, and Country Roads break out. So we join in with them, and next thing you know, we're partying with them and having a great time.
The footballers.
They're young guys. They're 18, 20 years old, and they're just love. They knew all the words.
They had
a strong Belgian accent, but they knew the words. And
that's what we were talking about last week, you know, at Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Breaks out. It's just fun. The other quirky thing I would say is, so, I mean, this is a thing in the United States as well, but it apparently is everywhere, is like the little speakeasies,
mm-hmm.
for lack of
mm-hmm.
a better term, right? So our experience for the first time is we get over there, and again, it was both Tara and I's first experience. We're by ourselves. We sent a couple of other friends who were a little bit more intoxicated than we were at 8 o'clock at night. Because, again, when you get late and you're in the Temple Bar area,
yeah.
I mean, if you haven't secured your spot like you guys did, I mean, you're 20 people deep.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to get a drink.
No,
I mean, not
at all.
It's
not happening.
So just give up. So that's what we kind of did. We were like, we got our meal at 8 o'clock, and it was like a quick burger place or something. We sent the other guys home, and Terry and I are walking back to our car. We're like, hey, I'm on a nightcap, right? So we're trying to find a place, and again, it's busy. But we're walking home, and again, we're at Temple Bar right by the water, and we look over, and there's a jazz bar. And we both look like, literally, a wine and jazz bar
in Dublin
on St. Patrick's Day, I bet you we can find a seat.
Right.
Pretty sure this is good. If we're on a nightcap, I think we're good. So that's what we did. We walked in, and of course, it was like 12 people. What was awesome is like 12 people from like 3 different countries, which is really cool. I mean, there was Parisians there was Germans there, and you know, it was just awesome. And we sat right by the bar, and which was like a little table or a stage area too, also where the musician was playing. It was just awesome. And we decided we're going to have a bottle of wine, right? And we're listening to the musician play. And it turns out the people next to us was her friends, her manager, and everything else. And long story short, one bottle turned into two, the nightcap turned into like 2 bottles of wine. And then they said, "Where are you going after this?" I was like, "This is our nightcap." They're like, "You should go with us because we're going to an after hours bar, speakeasy."
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty cool. So we walk to the water, which is like a block away. Mm-hmm. We go through 2 doors, up the partial steps, down like 2 flights of steps into this door. And we're like, there's this bar.
I'm impressed that you remembered up and then down. And
it's
then
funny what you remember, right?
It is funny what you remember.
And it's funny. I mean, we walk in there, and I remember telling Terry, I was like, we need to keep track right now because I want to know how much money we spend in this place. Because it's like 2 o'clock in the morning at this point, the day after St. Patty's Day. But it was just a blast. I mean, it was like a quirky place, high back couches, just random rooms, cool cocktails.
Yeah, that's awesome.
2 o'clock in the morning, the day after St. Patty's Day, and it was nothing but a bunch of locals and guests of locals.
Right.
So we didn't roll out there until 4 or 5.
So the people that took you there, were they locals?
Oh, yeah.
They were locals,
okay. Yeah. She was full on Irish. She was about an hour and a half north of Dublin, where she was born and raised. Awesome
yeah,
musician. But it was just great. It was just, this is a cool experience. You know, we sat there drinking wine and listened to great jazz and ended up meeting this person and we just rolled into that. And it was just hilarious because the next morning it was, we got to catch a plane. I tell you, that Uber ride, this guy was talking about the Beatles and Paul McCartney and meeting everything. And Terry's going, I just got to put the window down. I appreciate all your history. But I need some pho.
Pho?
Yes, it's a great.
Vietnamese pho.
Yeah, it's great for hangovers. We'll get on that on a different time. But yeah, it was just hilarious. So just, I looked back to Terry, I was like, you good? He's like, oh, yeah. Put it down. But it was awesome. But yeah, apparently Paul McCartney had a place like right across the river. But it was just fun. But
So how long when you guys went to Dublin, you stayed there for how many days?
Personally, mine was 2 days.
Two days. And then I toured all of Ireland.
I've been there several times. So, and on the trip we went to St. Patty's Day, we came in for 2 days, went to Paris, and came back for another 4 or 5 days. So,
we went to Dublin
twice. The second time, we did some stuff around Dublin, but we also went out through the country.
Okay.
Which that can be
that's what I was interested in to kind of see what's Dublin like when it's not St. Patty's Day.
Well, and I mean, I can discuss that too. I mean, we went.
That's totally different, though.
That is.
Well, we were talking about St. Patty's Day, you know, but it's Dublin.
It's still got a really good vibe, whether you drink it or not, or the historic part. But we were near the same the Temple Bar area, but it had a good vibe, and the Guinness was great. But what amazed me, and this was a non St. Patty's Day, this I would have expected on St. Patty's Day. And at the time, I was a bar owner, so it amazed me even more because I had some way to acquaint it to what we did as far as kegs. We're walking through the streets. This is in the morning, you know, 10 o'clock, whatever. And if you can picture the streets and those metal grates that open up that go down to where they, in the old days, used to deliver stuff. Well, it's still the old days there because that's where they're dropping all their produce, in this case, kegs. I mean, they're going to all these little bars and the keg trucks going around and dropping off like 16 kegs at each one. Where, I mean, the little bar I had here in West Virginia, we'd go through 3 or 4 or 5 maybe a week. They're dropping off 16 every day. We see this the next day, same place. They'd be going through. This is just a little bar. It's a whole wall place. It's like, are you kidding me? And then the taps, obviously the Guinness was the big thing, but they all have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 30 taps on there, and just everything, including like Bud Light Ice, not like what we have, where the tap's actually frozen over.
Did you just say Bud Light Ice?
I did. And over there,
ice beers, Heineken,
ice beers over there.
Yeah.
But it's not like the Bud Light Ice here. They don't even sell Bud Light Ice here anymore, but there, it's a big deal. And Coors Light, I think, had the same thing. So it was just amazing the variety and what they had. So it had a good vibe, and obviously people are out all the time. It's not just on St. Patty's Day.
And there are other good beers.
They're drinking all the time.
There are other good beers besides Guinness.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I would recommend trying all of them. They really are very good at making beer.
Yeah,
most beers are good.
And they're different. You know, any place that we go, there's peak times, right, and there's off times. Right. Even the off times are still fine.
Another unique story, and this is the bar directly across the street from the Brazen Head, and I forget the name of it right now, but we went in there, and this wasn't on St. Patty's Day. It was the first time I ever went to Dublin, and it was early, and this was one of the first bars we went to, so we're walking through, there's not many people in there, and we wind through, because it was sort of a restaurant, too, so we started on the wrong end, and we're wading our way through back to the bar. They had the stained glass. And this was like in 2009, 2010, and not long before that, the governor of Maryland was O'Malley, who ran for president a couple of years ago.
That's right, across the brazen head. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, somehow he knew the owners and was friends with them, and they had a stained glass picture of him on the in this wall there.
It's still there.
And I know it's still. I would assume it's still there. So that was kind of wild, you know, because obviously we border Maryland and do a lot of stuff in Maryland. So to see him there, out in the middle of nowhere, just was kind of crazy.
Yeah, the same thing. So the year before, Les and I, we lived right there. We actually, so that same bar, and I apologize, I didn't look it up. I forget the name of the place.
Right.
But they have a side entrance, and that's like their, this is like the shed area, to be honest. But it's like their overflow area, and that's kind of where we rolled into, and we ended up having a table, which at that time of the day is great to have a table. But we're sitting there, and then we're like, all right, we gotta go in and get like a real drink. So we go into the bar, and then we're like looking around, and then we're like, really? O'Malley?
Seriously? Yeah, oh yeah.
I was like, what?
Oh, we couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe
really,
it.
Really, we travel across the ocean, and it's the governor of Maryland
right next door to us.
It was pretty funny, though. Yeah.
And the other kind of cool little story from that, and then, like I said, this was the first place we went into. So we go there, and there's nobody at the bar. This is, you know, middle of the afternoon. But there's this old, very typical little Irishman, probably around 80. All right, little dude, his actual name was Patty. And he sits there, and you know, he's got his little conversation going. But the bar, he apparently comes in there every day, and he's not allowed to have more than two shots anymore because it's hell. But he sits there on the corner of the bar and just, you know, chats with whoever comes in, and it's cut off in two shots. But it was very stereotypical Irish, an old Irishman that's apparently been drinking forever. But it was pretty cool, too.
It was funny. So that same bar, though, was like so when we were going around that morning and we went to Brazen Head, we're all going to Guinness. Because, you know,
yeah,
the whole thing, you're in Ireland, you got to do Guinness. And then, but it wasn't until there, we kind of felt like we got our feet grounded. We're like, all right, so who's ready for some Irish whiskey?
Jameson.
So, yeah, that's what we did. So we get up there and they're like, can we get a couple shots of Jameson? Like, which
woman?
So again, this is one of the things about being in Dublin and part of all of Ireland. So in the United States, we're very limited. You know, obviously by states, you're limited by whatever your state allows you to get.
Right.
So here we have very limited Irish whiskey, especially Jameson. I mean, there we're like, he's got like a whole shelf. I mean, multiple shelves of various Jamesons. I'm like,
how do you choose?
I don't know.
It's like somebody who loves Legos as a six-year-old, you go to Legoland. Like, what do I do with this?
I don't understand. Help me out here.
I was like, I want one of all of them, but I can't. I mean, seriously, it was just like, what?
And there lies in the problem of you only going there for 2 days.
Exactly.
Right.
But I remember Jamie and I were like, And again, I hate to say that we hit it off, but we're like, we're in our van, and we're like, what do we do? I'm like, I don't know. We got to start somewhere, right? How about you pick one? I'll pick the next. That's what happened. And next thing you know, our dad goes, what are you doing? I'm like, we're doing shots of Jameson.
You want to join us?
And then, and then next thing you know, there you go.
Yep.
But it was just awesome. I mean, we looked up there, and some of the Jameson I had was just ridiculous. I mean, that's when I became a huge Irish whiskey fan, because until then,
it's
like,
good.
I didn't really appreciate it. It was like, I'm very used to the, and not that the Jameson, the standard Jameson in the United States is bad. It's not. It's just, it's very predictable, right?
So, but how do they serve it there? I mean, you were talking about, you know, doing shots of Jameson. Are you sipping it?
Taking
the flavor.
Yeah. I mean, most quality.
If you're smart.
Yeah, you're drinking it straight, right, in a glass. I mean, it's just, you're sipping it, but the varieties is what's available. I mean, it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, we're talking like 60 bottles. A difference. A Jameson.
Holy cow.
And here in the United States, you go to any bar in this entire area, you got 3 to 5.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Period. So, I mean, that was just amazing. And that's in one bar.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Walt and Tracy and I did the Jameson tour, but we did it in Middleton. And
you went to the original.
Well, just a factoid. They can do a tour in Dublin. But Dublin doesn't produce any Jameson.
Yeah,
it all comes out of Middleton. I didn't know that until I went through the tour. But for anybody out there listening, I highly recommend any of the Jameson tours anywhere in Ireland. I would assume they're pretty good. Walt and I had a very good time. We walked in with wondering what's going on and walked out with huge smiles on our face.
Did you have a similar experience? Did you have a similar experience where there was a wide variety to choose from?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we probably tasted at least 8 different Jamesons, at least.
Wow.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
I haven't done the Jameson tour, I'll be honest.
I highly recommend it. You would definitely like it, that's for sure.
There day in, day out.
I wasn't a big Irish whiskey drinker either, but it did turn me into – it is a – you know, whenever I go into a bar now, I'll do a Jameson, you know what I mean? It's because it's always solid. It's always good. It's very reputable. It's decently priced.
So when your Jameson tour, did you hit different bars along the way, or was this a
no? No, this was a tour of the Jameson. This was tour of the Jameson facility in Middleton.
Okay.
That actually produces, I think, most or all of the Jameson within the country. That's their
That's not all of it.
Most of it. I think that's what they told us, and it's still in operation. The one in Dublin is not in operation. It's not operational. It's
purely a
touring. Right.
Okay.
Just FYI. But
it's close. I mean, that facility's not that far outside.
No, it's not that far.
It's a day trip. I mean,
yes.
If you're there for like more than like we were saying, like the 2 to 3 days.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a ton of things you can do, and that's on our travel tip thing. And I don't know if we're ready to roll into that yet. Sure.
Yeah, well, that's a good segue into travel tips because you asked me earlier. I couldn't remember if I got there the day before or not. Now I know I got there the day before because, again, we took the Sandman tour.
Right.
And this Sandman tour really sticks out in my mind because it was one of my favorite, one of the longer ones. And it taught me that there was so much more to Dublin than I ever really knew. Things like Trinity College, the Book of Kells, things like that I knew really knew nothing about. And Rory Geller.
Yeah, Rory Geller.
We talked about that a little bit last week. I think one of our Sandman tour guide was Rory Geller, was a very famous musician and guitarist that apparently taught Jimi Hendrix how to play. And this tour guide explained this. Give all your credit to Rory Geller, Gallagher, my fault, for teaching all those older guys how to play guitar the real way. And it's funny, I got home and I started YouTubing Rory Gallagher, and he is pretty good. He has a lot of his music on YouTube. If you ever want to listen, check it out and get a feel if you're into guitar and music.
Right.
But that was about a three and a half hour Sandman tour. It was really long, if I remember correctly.
Dublin Castle, not through it, but around it, those grounds, and just all through the Temple Bar area and the Rory Gallagher part, and up to the university, like you said, and talked about the Book of Kells, which is it's a beautiful campus. We were fortunate enough that as we got there, a rainbow came out. So you're in Ireland, the grass is very green, and you got a rainbow that you can see both ends of. So you got arching over the college. I mean, it's a beautiful picture.
That's awesome.
So that was pretty.
And just FYI, a little tip: the book. If you want to tour the Book of Kells, it's a separate tour than the Sandman tour. So if you're interested in that, you do have to separately do that.
Right.
I don't remember the cost, but it's not a whole lot, and it's really interesting too.
Right. And plus, with the Sandman tour, they give you history of Ireland, sort of how it got started, the Normans coming over, and just all kinds of stuff.
So the question I have is, because I haven't done it yet in Dublin, did you guys do it during the St. Paddy's Day trip?
Yes. We did it the day before St. Paddy's Day, didn't we?
Do you know if so that's not a question. I don't know if they do it the day of or day after, but you did it the day before. So it's good to know. So
We didn't do it.
So if you did it the day before, it's a good planning thing. So you get a little experience in the place.
Get the feel for the town or the city in Dublin itself. And like you said, they always give you good tidbits where to go. Again, food. We didn't have to touch much on food as far as Dublin, but it's Irish food. It's pretty much what you expect. It's warm, gravy-ish, potato-ish.
Yeah, that's experience, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Soda bread,
I think everybody will say from a food experience that Ireland is catching up in the world.
Yeah.
Whereas, gastronomy, so to speak. Right. But I mean, you got country favorites, right? It's fun. Yeah. It's great. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I mean, you get what you expect.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and one thing back to that Sandman tour, and going on some of the history, they got talking about leprechauns. They were talking about St. Patty's Day, too. I mean, St. Patrick is different than leprechauns, but they've all kind of melded together, just like the Easter Bunny. But anyhow, they got talking about leprechauns. And when the Normans, the leprechauns were, obviously they were shorter, smaller people.
Hey, watch it.
And they did a lot of the mining. There's a lot of gold in Ireland at the time. So they did a lot of the mines. But when the Normans invaded, they were a lot bigger people, comparatively speaking. But the leprechauns were good with the money and kind of knew where the mines were. So that's sort of how
it all started.
I'm sort of skipping over a lot, but that's sort of how it ties.
You did that one the tour?
That was on the Sandman tour.
I wish Walt was here. He was with us on that tour.
Yeah,
I think
he'll be there.
This was one of the tours we had mentioned last week, you know, about Sandman. Do they separate big tours? This is one of the tours where they did separate us, because I'm pretty sure you all went with one group and we went with another group, I think.
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't know. We were all in the same group.
We were all in the same group? I think it was a big group of maybe 40 people, and they separated us in that one. But
that was a good tour. They gave you a lot of history. They talked about St. Patrick, who was a real figure. I don't know if they actually got the snakes out, the ordinary snakes on the island of Ireland. But that's the myth that he did that. On another tour, we were actually out where his cross was and all that in Rock of Cashin, but that's another tour. I don't know if it's actually true or not.
It's a great legend, though.
Now, another tour, and I don't mean to jump in here, but this originates in Dublin. But if you're looking for a day trip, now we didn't do it on St. Paddy's Day, but it's a rural pub tour.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this was incredible. It was another time we went.
Yeah.
And you meet right in the town center, and you get on a little bus, and he takes you out through Wicklow Mountain, which that was the mountain I was trying to think of earlier when I was talking about the Guinness factory, is County Wicklow and Wicklow Mountain. Incredible tour. You go to about 7 or 8 places of these little rural pubs and bars. Like the first one is called the Blue Lantern. It's the first one right outside of Dublin. Sits up about halfway up on the hill as you're going out, probably a couple miles outside of town. And the story goes, it's called the Blue Lantern because you could see Dublin Bay. Mm. And back in the day, not the pirates, they'd sit out there and they'd wait for the customs people to leave at night. And then they'd signal the blue lights, all the smugglers. That's the name I was looking for. They'd bring in all their cargo in to get it in and sell it and so forth. So it was pretty cool.
Like an old tunnel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of cool little stories like that out through there, out through the mountain. You're talking about some good food out there. They had the lamb and true mint julep, which was incredible. So out in the country, some good food. And then when you finish up and you're, in fact, our guy Jeremiah was there with some music and dancing. But it was Irish music and dancing. And Jeremiah actually got up and played the guitar and had a good time. So it was a great tour. So if you ever get a chance and you're looking for a day trip, it was really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm remembering after St. Paddy's Day, we toured all of Ireland, and then we came back to Dublin and stayed in a different area. I'm sorry, I don't remember the area.
Were you close to down to the river, or where were you?
No, we weren't close to the river. I should have marked this in my head, but I can't remember exactly. Terry can remember. But it was very easy to get to, and because what we did was we recommend getting the passes for the bus. Getting the bus passes, and you can get them for 2 or 3 days, and you can ride it, you know, unlimited for 2 or 3 days for whatever. I forget the cost in it, but I highly recommend getting the Dublin bus to get yourself around.
That's one of the things we pretty much talked about constantly is what gets overlooked is the community passes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're there for 2 days, 3 days, a week, or a month, there's different options available to get you access to the undergrounds or the buses or whatever they may be. And if you're going to be there for an extended period of time, I mean, it's hands down the best way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you get, depending on the place, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't know, but like,
and it gets you
Paris,
anywhere.
You get everywhere, anywhere. But other places like Dublin, you can get to a lot of places so much more recently.
Available.
here at Dublin?
Yeah,
the whole travel thing, grabbing those passes, I mean, checking into it before you travel. Some of you have to book in advance, you know, like in Paris, if you want to get like that pass, you got to get a quick little passport type photo, but that's $2 at a Rite Aid, right? You walk in, you get your pass in like 10 minutes and you're done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can get a 2-day pass for Dublin or a 5-day pass for your bus, and it was pretty unlimited.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, I guess we're ready to wrap it up. So that's this week's episode of Friends That Carry On, and all about Dublin and St. Paddy's Day. And we could go on. Everybody did separate trips after St. Paddy's Day and went to separate areas. So we could talk about those and other parts of Ireland at another time. But you want to check us out on social media at Facebook at Friends That Carry On, and Instagram at Friends That Carry On. And our website is www.friendsthatcarryon.com. And what's next week going to be?
Next week we're going to be talking about London. If you're there for just a few days, what to do in and about London proper.
Okay.
What are things to do and places to go and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to like hit on things from somebody who's never been there, somebody who's been there once, somebody who's planning to go.
Mm-hmm. I've never been to London.
And somebody who's been there for a few times. So we'll hit on whatever you can shouldn't do or should do in like in 2 days, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep. We'll see you next time.
All right. Awesome.
Be sure to join the friends next week with another great podcast. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also find the friends and other content on www.friendsthatcarryon.com or check us out on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook by searching Friends That Carry On. Thanks again for joining us. And don't forget to carry on, friends.